League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is the Goalkeepers Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union Podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the bunged up voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
I'm better than you, it would seem.
I feel okay. I feel good in myself. But yes, a little bit bunged up. So if I don't sound my usual self, it's because of that. I'm kind of hoping I sound... You remember Friends, the sitcom? I'm sure you do remember it. It was our era.
Friends, the sitcom? I don't think you need to... I don't think you need to describe what Friends is. Yes, I do. And I'm sure you're going to say when Monica was fired. Is that what you're going to talk about?
Yeah. Was it? No, it was Phoebe. It was Phoebe when she was singing the songs and she was bunged up.
Okay. Yeah, you're doing it with the whole sexy voice thing.
Yeah. Have I got that going on or not? Not really.
I'll let the listeners decide on that one, mate.
But yeah, a little bit bunged up, but I feel fine. I'm ready for the show. Lots to talk about this week.
Why are you bunged up, by the way? Do we want to go into that? And that's because you're back home.
This is it. I could just give the usual, what is it? Oh, it's coming up to flu season. Look, everyone gets ill for the same reason. I worked too hard and didn't sleep very much for 10 days when I was back in England. And as soon as I got myself back to Dubai and actually had some time to rest, that's when it hit me. So it's always the same every time. Every time I travel, come back, I get ill for a few days. So I probably do need to figure that out at some point because it's not healthy, but it is what it is.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
So we shall start in the Premier League. And where else to start, Richard, other than the City Ground and Emi Martinez, lauded for not just save of the season, but save of the Premier League ever. The best save ever in the Premier League, apparently. When he made this save, it was from the Nicolas Dominguez header. I was trying to think whether I'd ever seen a save like it. I was racking my brains and I have to say, I couldn't think of anything.
I would have to agree with you. I think this is probably the most unique save I've ever seen, in that there's not one in history that you can think back and think, oh yeah, such and such made a similar save. It is just an extraordinary save. It's been interesting listening to a few people kind of talk about it and almost saying, well, it's not as good as that save or this save. I know there was, I'm trying to think it was who said it. They said like they thought Onana's double save earlier in the season was better than this. But again, it wasn't for a start. But also, how can you compare the saves? Although I've just done it by saying it wasn't. But like, how can you actually compare the saves? Because this is so unique. There's not a save like it. It has to go up there as, like, certainly in that top category of best ever saves, for the fact that I just don't know how he's done it. Like, I've watched it over and over, and there's so many different things that come into play in terms of how he's actually been able to keep it, how creative he's had to be in that moment. You know, it certainly isn't textbook by any stretch, but to be able to keep it out, again, I'm still, having watched it so many times, it's still hard to figure out.
Everything seems to get better with age, doesn't it? So you can imagine in 5, 10, 15, 20 years' time, perhaps, people will look back on this save and go, that's the best save you've ever seen. Whereas nowadays, whenever things happen in the present, we tend to romanticize things that have happened in the past, and therefore, mind you, that save from Onana was, well, that was this season, wasn't it? But there might be a save from Seaman, from Schmeichel, from Hart, from Banks, that everybody romanticizes about and says it can't be better than that. But you'd imagine in a few years' time, the gravity of that save might be amplified. I guess the issue with this is that moments later, he goes and concedes, and ultimately, Aston Villa don't win the game.
Better with age. I thought you might have been referring to me and you there. Fine wine, Matthew, fine wine. But yes, better with age. I think you're probably right with this one. I think, look, when I look at this, because I think there's so many things that have played into this into this moment. And as you say, it's kind of, you know, this moment happens late on in an FA Cup final. Then, of course, you know, the next day people would be going even more crazy. I mean, look, by the way, it has had a lot of publicity, and rightly so. But the fact they end up losing the game, I'm sure we'll talk about the first goal that he conceded as well, when there were one or two question marks about that. But let's just, I suppose, isolate this save. If we're going to break it down, which we'll try to, the thing that I suppose I really enjoyed about this was that you talk about all the usual things, and that he's wrestling at the corner, trying to be able to come for the cross, realizes he can't, takes up a good position, gets himself back to the line, sets well. But it's just, for me, it's, I use that word creativity again, because it's down by his feet. He's not going to be able to move his feet to make the save. Like, if this was a little bit higher, then he gets a hand to it and like claws it away. If it bounces just before him, again, he might get it on the half volley and claws it away. It's the fact that it's, to use a cricketing term, it's almost a yorker. You know, it's right down on the line. And even that, where we're talking millimetres, to actually get his fingers to it, but then even at that point, it's the sort of swivel he does, where he's then, you know, such quick thinking. Because, by the way, this is all happening so quick. That's the other bit. Like, I watched it when I first saw it, and it didn't do it justice. I first saw it in super slow motion. It looks good on that, but then when you actually see it in real speed, the pace at which he's got his hand down, got fingers to it, literally on the goal line, and managed just to claw it out just a few centimetres, and then thankfully for him, it's a defender that's able to clear it, because that'd have been, I mean, that'd have been just the one, wouldn't it, if a striker stood there and knocks it into an empty net. We're probably not talking about it now, but just everything, the way that it played out, I've never ever seen a save like this, and I'd be surprised if we see it again, because there's so many things that have to happen to even have a chance of making a save like this. Just incredibly unique, and for me, it certainly has to go down in the top few in history.
The beauty of that save as well is that if we are, what, 140-150 years of footballing history, it seems there are still saves occurring that we've never seen before. It's a brand new save.
It is a brand new save. Who would have thought it? But you're right. I mean, we talk about, obviously, we've got a lot of saves we'll talk about today, but pretty much every save you see, and some great saves again this weekend, but of course there are similar saves. It is, I think it is that, and that's where, when I was listening to people comparing it to other saves, you know, the David Seaman save against Pesky Salido, the Schmeichel has got a couple in the category as well, Gordon Banks, of course, comes up, but again, they're all so different. I just don't think you can put this in that category, because again, how many humans on the planet could actually make this save? I just don't think there are many. And again, the fact that Emi Martinez, his reactions are so quick, you know, he's so powerful, the speed at which he gets down, even the, you know, the power in his fingers for this moment, because even that, how's he managed to actually stop it on the goal line when it's going at that pace? Like, you think of all of this that comes into it, again, incredibly unique save.
So where does it rank for you? Greatest save of all time?
Again, this is what I mean. I just don't know how you can rank them, because then, like, I still love the Gordon Banks save. And in fact, I'm sat here and I've got a Gordon Banks picture on my wall behind me. And I still love that save for the fact that even in today's game, and I hope this comes across the right way, but even in today's game, if that save's made, we are going crazy about it over the pod. Whereas there's so many that, where the game has evolved and players have, you know, certainly goalkeepers have got more powerful over the years and certainly different shapes to what they were back then. But that save for me, the fact that it was when it was, the speed at which he gets across his goal, the, again, creativity, use that word, to actually, in that moment, it's the only place he can really get the ball away from the goal, is to put it over the crossbar. That for me is still the greatest for those reasons. But in recent history, this has got to be up there with, you know, talk about the save from Pesky Salido. Again, top save, but it's just too different to this to compare. So yeah, for me, it's well up there. It's, I don't know, can you actually give a verdict? As I guess it's just what your preference is. Do you have a preference?
Ask me in 20 years' time, mate.
Okay, perfect.
Once I can romanticise about it. But let's move on to the goal that was conceded, because classic goalkeeping, on one hand, they giveth, and on the other, they kind of half criticise. Although the criticism, I guess, wasn't as great because of the save that he'd made moments earlier. I think the pundits went from no chance for Emi Martinez, and then they watched it a couple of other times and thought, actually, could he have done better then? What was your thoughts on this? And there was a very similar save, and we'll jump ahead to the Championship just very quickly here. There was a similar, not a save, a goal conceded by Ian Melier in the draw between Preston and Leeds as well. So two, yeah, quite similar circumstances.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, where it's a frustrating one for him because he's coming across, the ball's headed in towards him, and it's almost the fact that it's so close to his chest. You know, if it had been slightly either side, he gets a hand to it and parries it wide, but it almost goes through the gap. It goes through the hands, and once it's hit his chest and it's kind of caught in there, he can't get it away. You know, he can't get the ball out of there. And yeah, similar to an extent to the Meslier one as well, where, you know, you're talking centimetres again and it's a different part of you. It goes, the chances are in that situation, it's going to go away from goal, but it just almost gets trapped. And because of that, he sort of bundles it into the side of the net. And it's one of them, is it a mistake? Is there something you could have done differently? And I think because of the way that he keeps goal, I don't think there's anything he could have done differently. You know, he's come across, his hands are in that sort of set position as he's going across, looking to make the save. It's just the fact it's so central, right in the middle of his chest. And because of that, it gets a bit caught. So for me, certainly no error, but at the same time, one that he'll be frustrated by because it looks untidy. And certainly given the fact that it, you know, has gone almost straight at him, you kind of feel like surely there's got to be a way to keep it out. But I just look at it logically and I don't know exactly how he does it.
Okay, over to the Amex. Brighton 1, Crystal Palace 3. And Dean Henderson in a really good patch of form at the moment, it would seem. Really good saves from Lewis Dunk and Julio Enciso. There was a horrible goal conceded at the end, which he would have been fuming about because he didn't get that clean sheet. But overall, another good performance.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. I thought especially at the time of the game, so we're 2-0 up, start of the second half, and you know what it's like if you concede a goal. We've seen it over and over. Suddenly the momentum's with the other team and the game can shift on a moment like that. But no, I thought the save up to his left, very good reactions, puts it out for the corner. But I thought the save full stretch down to his left, I thought was excellent. Made a good one with his feet as well, first half. And yeah, frustrated for him on the goal in that it's one of them. It's a lovely ball in terms of right into the near post. Very difficult to come for. Doesn't quite get a fist on it. Then it's a bit of a melee. And it's one of those, I mean, we've seen a couple of goals like that this weekend. I know Wolves conceded a similar one where, you know, someone's tried to clear it, hit your own player and goes back in the goal. It kind of is what it is. But I think the key thing from this performance is the timing of those saves. You know, if he doesn't make one of those saves, I think we could have seen a very different result here.
It's funny, isn't it, how sometimes things tend to be grouped together. There was, yeah, the own goal you're talking about at Wolves. There was one at Stoke as well in their game with Cardiff, almost exactly the same, where a defender's crashed it into his own man and it's gone into the net. We'll talk about Wolves in a moment, but let's just go to the Emirates first. Arsenal 0, Everton 0. Jordan Pickford, also, like Dean Henderson, very much in the moment at the moment. Five saves from him, notably from Martin Odegaard and Bukayo Saka.
Yeah, very, very good. I enjoyed the Odegaard save, actually, for the fact that so I think of Saka coming in at the angle and you can see that he's taken up a really aggressive position on the angle, potentially leaving the near post slightly open. But again, I don't mind that because he's trying to be proactive, looking to cut out the ball that comes across. In doing so, when the ball then does go across, he's able to get across very quickly, take up quite an advanced position and spread and make the save that he makes. Now, I think the save down to it low to his left, I think is very good for the fact that, again, takes up a very good set position, a true position, I'd call it, on the angle. And it's obviously fired down. I don't think he can hit any better, Saka. This is going right in the near post. But at the same time, it's not one that he gets his hand to. It's almost like a forearm, but just the control of the body to get his forearm down, get the angle on it to put it out for a corner. So sharp. And it's another big, big point for Everton. You know, certainly from what I've seen and what the stats suggest, they went there to get the point to try and frustrate Arsenal. And that's where you are going to need a big performance. And how many times do we say it in games like that? Jordan Pickford really does seem to shine.
There was a random punch in that game too, almost like a left hook that Pickford dished out. I think it was with Kai Havertz, but again, just a classic Pickford performance.
Yeah, it was. It was, I'd say it was almost more volleyball, wasn't it, than anything else. But again, you know, we spoke about Martinez in a very different way about, like, goalkeeping isn't always textbook. And this is another example where I think as he's realised he's getting there, he's not going to be able to reach round the player to punch it, but he can kind of get his arm round him and just get the ball away from danger. Now, in this situation, it was essentially getting it as high as he possibly could, but so unorthodox. But again, clever goalkeeping in the moment, because what else do you do? You can't go through the player, give away a penalty, but he has found a way to get the job done. And I think so often that is very much goalkeeping.
Chelsea 2, Brentford 1, and two saves that I'd like to talk about here. One, Robert Sanchez from Christian Norgaard, and two, Mark Flecken from Nicholas Jackson. Just two moments of goalkeeping that are pleasant to talk about.
Yeah, both world class. Really, really good saves. And again, huge save from Sanchez at the time. I feel like we speak about him a lot on the pod, and I'm glad that a lot of the positives are now getting highlighted, because I thought this another example of a save that not many goalkeepers can make. You know, he's obviously a big guy, incredibly athletic, so powerful. This going right in the top corner, and to get a hand up and get fingertips to get it over the bar, top save. And I thought Flecken was excellent. Again, really enjoying watching him play at the moment, really seeing more and more, you know, what Brentford fans have seen for so long. But the save, top corner again, the footwork, the spring power, and this is going right in the top corner again. It's one of those beautiful saves where you have to get everything spot on, from your set to your step to your spring, and then the fingertips to get it around the post. It's world class.
Wolves 1, Ipswich 2. We'll just quickly touch on this. You've spoken about the goal already, kind of Spawny goal of the week, I think, the own goal, the opener for Ipswich. But it's an interesting situation at Wolves now, where Sam Johnstone came in. They've got Dan Bentley in there too, Jose Sarr, who's injured at the moment. But Gary O'Neill sacked at the weekend. A new manager will come in. January is fast approaching, so you'd imagine there might be an outgoing there.
Yeah, it is a fascinating situation there, because it wasn't ever really meant to be those three going into the season. And it's been a really tough season for the club. You do wonder whether it might be a bit of a clean slate, someone going in there, and who they decide to move forward with. Because at the moment, I know Sam Johnstone, obviously it started off with Sarr. Sam Johnstone came in, had the bit of the injury, but then Sarr seemingly had won the place by right. Now it's Sam Johnstone back in again. Dan Bentley hasn't been given a chance as yet. So, yeah, really curious to see how that plays out. And I thought Sam Johnstone did fine in this game. Like I say, no chance with the goals in particular, and it just is a really tough time. But how often do we see it with teams that are down the bottom, where it does seem to be hokey-cokey goalkeepers? You know, we see it certainly teams down the bottom more often than not, and you sort of got a feel for the goalkeepers in that it's obviously tough playing in a team that are losing week in, week out, or you know, having as rough of a run that they are. But so often there's only so much you can do as a goalkeeper. There's only, you know, in terms of your consistency, and naturally the more that you're having to do being down the bottom of the league, there are going to be more errors from time to time. Similarly, there's going to be more saves as well. But it just seems to be the way that teams look for a reaction, and so quickly they'll go and change the goalkeeper, when quite often the goalkeeper will be doing fine.
Finishing at St Mary's, where it was Southampton 0, Tottenham 5. Now, a couple of points I wanted to discuss with you here. The first of those being the fact that Aaron Ramsdale was a pundit on TNT Sports for this clash. Now, I find it quite remarkable that he was allowed to go on. I don't know who made the decision to give Ramsdale the freedom to be a pundit on this game. But, and I know that, you know, he's a good guy, he's great value, he's honest, he's open, he would be very good as a pundit. But at the moment that Southampton find themselves in right now, I find it an incredible decision that he was allowed to go on and be a pundit. Have him before the game, that's absolutely fine. Have him on before the game, speaking about Russell Martin, speaking about Southampton, speaking about his role within the club, speaking about Joe Lumley, Alex McCarthy, and then have him go off. But to be there at half-time when his team are 5-0 down, and to then have him at full-time trying to justify the performance that Southampton have been put in without saying anything too incriminating to both Russell Martin and his teammates, yeah, I just find it an incredible decision, really.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. It's, as you say, it's a no win situation. Like you say, unless it plays out perfectly and they have their a great performance, they do end up winning. But what can you possibly say? Because then similarly, you can't actually do the job of a pundit effectively. You know, at half time, you're not going to want to hammer your own players, of course. So he's going to have to be as positive as he can be. But, you know, if you're 1-0 down, 2-0 down, then the message is along the lines of, you know, hopefully big second half, we come back into it. You know, you're 5-0 down at half time. There is very little to say. But yeah, obviously it's a really tough time at the moment for Southampton in general. So I'm sure this is the least of their worries.
And the second point was Alex McCarthy. So I don't know whether you've ever been in this situation before, but it was vitriolic at St Mary's. It was horrible to watch. Pretty much when the first goal went in, the fans were calling for Russell Martin's head. But to be a goalkeeper in that situation where you are conceding one after the other, there is absolutely nowhere for you to go. That must be, very, very difficult.
Yeah, do you know what? I was probably quite fortunate in that. I think, as I've said to you, most I conceded in a 90-minute game was 4. So I haven't actually been in that exact position. But yeah, I have been involved in teams where It gets to the point where it's toxic. Like you're stepping out, and you know, unless you start the game brilliantly, you can feel within minutes that the fans are on your case. You know, and it might be 0-0 after 10 minutes, but you can already like hear the moans and groans, and it is tough. It's really tough to play in. And I think that's where, you know, people talk a lot about players having to be psychologically strong, and it's a very like loose term and an easy term to say, but you know, in terms of actually being psychologically strong, a lot of that is being probably ignorant is probably the word I'd use, ignorant to what's going on around you. Because yeah, you can imagine there at the moment when you see fans leaving at 3-0, 4-0 after 20-25 minutes, it's not particularly pleasant. But ultimately you can only do what you can do, and you can be as consistent as you can be. And again, there is only so much a goalkeeper can do. You know, I think it doesn't matter who Southampton had in goal for that game, they were going to get beaten heavily. So yeah, look, not an easy time for anyone at the club now, and let's see if a change of manager does spark any difference.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where Sol Brin was back in for Senna Dieng. So he came in for a run of 3 games, Sol Brin. His first ever league appearance is for Middlesbrough. They then brought Dieng back in. They drew one and lost one in those 2 games. So Brin was subsequently recalled for the weekend. The 1-0 win over Millwall looked very solid throughout. Be interesting to see what happens now as to whether he keeps the shirt. You'd imagine after the win, he probably will. And someone else who's looked solid throughout this season is Max O'Leary. However, a small, let's call this a small rush of blood to the head, which saw QPR leave Ashton Gates with a point. Great finish from Paul Smith, by the way. But yes, Max O'Leary might look back and think maybe he could have stayed where he was. Another man who's looked solid this season is Ainsley Pearce. He's played every game in League and Cup for Blackburn. That's 6 wins on the spin. There might be a special something in Clean Sheet Club a bit later, but a double save from Victor Adeboyejo and Tahith Chong as Blackburn beat Luton 2-0 at Ewood Park. Michael Cooper keeping out former employers Plymouth at Bramall Lane. So a really good stop from Ryan Hardy, his former teammate. A couple of crucial interceptions in there as well. You might say he's looked solid throughout this season too. And Ivor Pandor, a good penalty save for Hull, but they did go down 2-1 at Coventry. And I thought this was just interesting to bring up because Frank Lampard was asked after the game about goalkeepers going down and, inverted commas, feigning injury. And yeah, he said he wasn't too happy about it.
Yeah, the goalkeeping injury one is one that comes up from time to time. And it is, again, he was quite careful with what he said, wasn't he, Frank Lampard? But it is, of course, something that all teams know, that if you want to buy a bit of time or have that little break, then the goalkeeper may well be instructed to go down with something. And of course, the physio comes on. It gives you 90 seconds, 2 minutes where you can have a little gathering or just get your breath. And teams do utilise this little loophole in the rules. I know he said about that something needs to change. Again, I don't know what you can do to change that, because you know, ultimately, can you call a goalkeeper out for saying that he's not actually injured? They can't exactly do a, you know, a test on the pitch that's going to actually determine whether they're telling the truth or not. So kind of is what it is. But again, there are teams, the sort of dark arts of football, that do know ways and means as to how, you know, the momentum's against you. That might be one where you see teams, suddenly the goalkeeper goes down with a tight calf. Like, it happens very, very often. Again, whether there's anything that can actually be done. But I think going back to the saves that you mentioned, a couple of goalkeepers I wanted to talk about in particular. I think Sol Brin, very, very good again. And it does look like, and we've seen this in a couple of examples where goalkeepers have come in, maybe gone out for a couple of games and then come back in. But obviously the difference when they come back in is it's very much their shirt to lose at that point. I think when Sol Brin first comes in, it's a case of, you know, as soon as Dieng is ready, Dieng will be back in. But of course, when they've given that opportunity and they've taken it, it's always going to put extra pressure on the other goalkeeper coming back in. And when results maybe don't quite go the way they want, then all of a sudden now I think Sol Brin has got a legitimate chance to really make that shirt his own. I thought it was very good. A couple of very good one-on-one saves in this, a couple of great takes as well. You know, really building into the position very nicely. Obviously had a top season last season at Leyton Orient as well. So be really interested to see how he gets on. Michael Cooper, again, you mentioned he's been very, very good. It's been a, you sort of talk about a goalkeeper's journey and pathway and the kind of moves that you go in order to continue to step up the leagues. You know, you look at this on paper, it's a really good move to go from Plymouth to Sheffield United. It's a significant step up with respect to Plymouth, certainly in size, in terms of size of club, but he's just really taken to it. You know, he's gone in there, the bigger stadium, the bigger environment, the bigger pressures that might come with it. You certainly haven't seen that so far, and I think he's looked really solid. And I'm glad that Ainsley Pears gets a mention as well, because it does feel like he's that sort of keeper for me that we don't talk about too often. And a lot of that is for good reason, in that, you know, he is very, very steady, very rarely makes errors. This season in particular, the number of clean sheets that he's got, you know, is true testament to just how well he's doing. He made a couple of key saves in this as well. One that I really enjoyed, down to his right, got himself up so quickly and then made a big save down to his left as well. And yeah, he's certainly seeing the rewards for his efforts.
Are you surprised at all about Ainsley Pears getting the run of games that he has got for Blackburn? Because last season it was Pears, it was Volstead. Neither really stood out too much for the club. And you thought in the summer they might go into the market, but they've kept faith in Pears, and yeah, he's certainly repaid them.
Yeah, well, he's had to do it the hard way, because obviously before that it was Kaminsky, of course, and he did get some opportunities with Kaminsky. And then last season, as you mentioned, it was shared to an extent. He obviously played more than Volstead. This season they brought in Toth, who we haven't really seen yet. But obviously that's a decision from Blackburn to keep faith with him. But I think there's part of it is what we spoke about before. It's kind of going from being the two to the one. It's never an easy journey, because you need a few things to go your way quite often. And if you are seen in that role of being the two, which it's fair to say he was for a long period of time, to then be seen as the established one can take a bit of time. And certainly when a club is always in the market seemingly for a goalkeeper, or certainly the windows just mentioned there, bringing in Wolstead, bringing in Toth, you always kind of feel like they're bringing in someone who is going to be a one if they're still seeing Ainsley Pears as a two. But you'd like to think now, from his point of view, that he is now considered very much a very good number one in the Championship. And then it'd be interesting to see if that then flips again, in that, you know, once you've then suddenly got that full faith of a manager of a team, then it is your shirt for many years. And potentially, if it is one where Blackburn can challenge, which they look like they will this season, they look very, very good, and they do get a promotion, is he the type that could take you to the Premier League? Is he the type you'd have faith in if you go to the Premier League? Again, it's all things that I'm sure we'll see.
Into League One, Jojo Wollacott made six saves at London Road. So Crawley lost 4-3 to Peterborough, but it could have been a lot more had the Ghanaian not made the saves that he did make. Very busy afternoon for him. A busy afternoon for Joel Pereira as well at Reading. He conceded three at home to Blackpool, but made a fine stop from a point blank. Ashley Fletcher had a really, really good save that. And then went on a little mazy in the second half, which was quite enjoyable to watch. He did the first bit well and then got about 20 to 30 yards from goal and thought, what am I doing here? And I think eventually he just fell over and managed to win the free kick. And just a word on Ryan Allsop again. I know that we've spoken about this many times before, but his distribution in Birmingham's win over Bristol Rovers was second to none. We should also flag a save that he made not last midweek, but the midweek before, against Stockport at home in a big win for Birmingham. He hadn't had much to do in that game, but made a brilliant double save. against Stockport. It's 3 clean sheets in 4 wins on the trot now.
Yeah, that is a very impressive record. And they're looking stronger and stronger, Birmingham, on the whole. And we talk about goalkeepers that fit a certain style of football, but I think we've really seen that with Ryan Alsop and the way that Birmingham are playing this season and, you know, keeping the ball in the way that they do. It's really been a very nice fit since he's won his place in the team. And just to mention a couple of the goalkeepers you spoke about there, Pereira, again, keeping up his good form, it's fair to say. You know, again, talk about goalkeepers going from a 2 to a 1. You know, he's certainly done that and done it very successfully. And Jojo Wallacott, I did enjoy the save on the angle, and I've written down jump spread. That's the way that I described it, where I like that, where you're coming out, and of course you can come out, do a long barrier, but I think having the ability to time when the shot is going to be taken, and we talk about point of impact, what is your shape at point of impact? I think if you can do this, you know they're going to shoot, and you can sprint out to them and jump into them with a bit of power, but make sure that you're in a good position the moment they strike. And I thought he did this brilliantly. He came out with such power, and at the point of impact, he's so close, he's so big, and it's a top save.
And finally, in League 2, so Matty Young bedding in to senior football at Salford now. He's on loan from Sunderland. I did see him in pre-season, actually, and I thought that in one of the games he slightly struggled. I did think that it might be a difficult transition for him, but he's bided his time and now he's taken his chance. Jamie Jones was the number one. He's now been given his shot, Young. And yeah, doing very, very well. Convincing 3-0 win over Notts County. And he's playing with authority. That's what you'd say. He's playing with authority. He's quick off his line to stop Alassane Jatta, and some nice footwork in that one too. Sidewinder City from Sam Walker and Teddy Sharman Lowe. We've spoken about these two before. Bradford won 1-0 at home to Swindon. Doncaster lost 1-0 away to AFC Wimbledon. But a couple of nice moments from Sharman Lowe, on loan from Chelsea, of course. There was one in particular where he's collected a cross, he's been felled, he's then got back to his feet and delivered a lovely sidewinder, a top save from Matty Stevens in that one as well. It was goalless between Bromley and Port Vale, but an eventful game. So Grant Smith with a couple of good one-on-one stops and somehow being saved by his defence in the second half. Either it was handball or it definitely crossed the line. At least that's what it looked like, but neither was given. And at the other end, Connor Ripley with 2 instinctive stops from Michael Cheek in the first half. He's then done the classic diving at the feet of the onrushing attacker, as you'd expect Connor Ripley to do, a very brave goalkeeper. And then right at the death, he scrambled across his goal line in injury time to keep the clean sheet. An action-packed performance from him. Chesterfield won away at Carlisle. And Max Thompson, similar to Max O'Leary here, the two Maxes, there you go. But this is where it can work. So not quite as far out of his goal as O'Leary was, but still quite the distance. And he managed to get in the way of the effort from Daniel Adu Ajay. So that's sometimes where it can work. And finally, Tom McGill. Just when you make a decent save, you let the next phase of play see a shot squirm underneath your body. Not nice to see this. It was a solitary goal for Gillingham scored by Robert McKenzie in a 1-0 win over MK Dons.
Yeah, frustrating moment for Tom McGill. Been very solid this season, so one that I'm sure he'll put behind him very quickly. But just one of those horrible moments where you don't quite get your body behind it, squirms through, and always even more frustrating when it's a crucial goal in a game. But I wanted to mention Matt Young. I actually watched this game. I watched a lot of games this weekend, and that was one of the ones that I did see, and I was really impressed with him. You know, for his age, such a mature performance. Really good one-on-one save. Just thought his distances were very good. Shape was good. And as you say, he plays for real authority, which can often come when you become that little bit older. But, you know, I think still being so young, he looked really, really comfortable. Very impressed by him. But you mentioned there, I think probably the goalkeeper of the weekend in League 2 was Connor Ripley. I thought a couple of these saves were excellent. And again, we spoke about him quite a bit on the pod over the years, and that he does play with such passion. You can see he really loves what he does. And the save down to his right in particular, I thought was excellent. And Sidewinder City, it was actually cross and Sidewinders. Really enjoyed this from Walker and Sharman Lowe. Walker's one in particular where it's almost in one motion as he's caught the cross and released the side volley. Brilliant technique to put the striker in. And Sharman Lowe's good as well for the fact that he's caught the cross, got tripped over, still managed to get himself up very quickly. Beautiful side volley again to put the striker in. Yeah, excellent technique from both of these.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Clean Sheet Club.
Okay, so this week I'm going to use the fact that I've got a cold and I don't want to be reading Matt's gibberish, so I'll pass the baton to him for this.
The most inevitable outcome in this week's Between the Sticks, but we shall start in the Premier League. David Raya, 2 in 4 days, 3 in 4 games. Jordan Pickford, 4 in 5. Martin Dubravka, 100%. Fraser Forster, account opened and first since May 2023. Into the Championship, Jacob Zetterstrom sculling it. Ainsley Pears, sound the siren. 5 in a row. Sol Brin, coming to you on a blanky road. And Michael Cooper, unstoppable. Into League One, Sam Tickle, Wiganimator. Josh Keeley, hat-trick. Max Crocombe, keeping Brewers brewing. Ryan Allsop, rocking on. Ashley Maynard Brewer, back-to-back stalemates. Christy Pym, long time coming. Harry Tyra, 3 unbeaten since stepping back in. And Dylan Phillips, huge. And in League Two, Matty Young acclimatising. Owen Goodman ever present. Sam Walker, so is he. Grant Smith, and so is he. Connor Ripley, yep, him too. Max Thompson, double bubble. Joe Day deputising dutifully. Matt Macy, 5 straight in all comps. Nick Townsend, you can't keep a good man down. Philip Marshall, guess what? Ever present. Glenn Morris, meow. And Tommy Simkin, the doubliest of publiest. there was so many in that one. Crikey, there was a lot of clean sheets this week.
I'm just so happy I didn't read that. That was, I mean, I love that you put a bit of expression into that, a lot of what you did, but I would have been all over the place. I'm so happy you did it this week.
Would you like the table, Richard?
I would love the table.
So not too much change in terms of personnel, but a change in numbers, because that clean sheet on Saturday for Michael Cooper means that he is out on his own at the top of the table. 13 in 19 games. Quite an incredible record, that. James Trafford with 12 in 20 and Ian Melier with 11 in 21. The Championship really are roaring ahead in Clean Sheet Club this season.
There you go. It is getting interesting. What was it? What was the total number that's won it in years gone by? Sort of mid-20s from memory?
I think 24 is the highest. I think we've had 24, 22, maybe 21. I don't think it's been higher than 24. Certainly not higher than 25, I don't believe.
Well, certainly, I know it's still very early and a lot can change, but I think the way that certainly Michael Cooper's playing, James Trafford's playing, and how strong they are defensively, I'm sure they've got that in their sights.
I'm sure they have. Just to finish, Richard, it was the Scottish League Cup final yesterday. A rip-roaring contest, 3-3 between Rangers and Celtic. It went to penalties. Jack Butland did score a penalty, a brilliantly taken penalty as well. But the hero of the day, yet again, was Kasper Schmeichel.
Yeah, a big moment for him. I know it was a big decision to join Celtic, big decision from Celtic to bring him in. And I mean, look, it couldn't have started more perfectly for him, really, in terms of how they're doing in the league, how he's done personally, then to make a winning save in a cup final. Yeah, excellent start for him and another honour to his name.
Another honour to his name. Well, there are two more games taking place tonight. Bournemouth host West Ham and Fleetwood play Accrington, but hopefully nothing too extravagant from a goalkeeping perspective will happen in either of those because, yes, we won't be able to cover it.
We're not. We have done it Monday. We have brought a treat to the listeners a day early.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers.
Away.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.